Ever wonder what asthma is and why so many children have it? Our understanding of this chronic condition in children has really come a long way in the past few decades. So I thought it would be a good time to bring you some of the latest information that I've recently learned about this very common condition we call asthma. I hope after listening to today's discussion, you'll be able to recognize some of the symptoms of asthma and have some better understanding of what is going on in an asthmatic child's lungs. So stay tuned to this important edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics.
It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's Portable Practical Pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
For those of you who are new to Portable Practical Pediatrics, I'm your host, Dr. Paul Smolin, a board-certified pediatrician who has practiced in Charlotte, North Carolina for the past 34 years. I think 34 years of middle-of-the-night care for asthmatic children qualifies me as something of an expert. So with that said, let's get into today's topic. Well, let's start with the question, what is asthma? Many parents are surprised when I tell them that everyone, whether they're asthmatic or not, are capable of having the physiologic responses that asthmatics do during an asthma attack. You heard me right. Anyone can have a bronchial attack just like asthmatics do, even children and adults who don't have asthma. Bronchospasm, or tightening of one's bronchioles, is actually a protective reflex that everyone's lungs are capable of in response to irritants. Wheezing is that high-pitched sound that comes from the lungs during an asthma attack, is the hallmark of bronchospasm. It's air moving through very tight bronchioles. And it's a protective reflex to keep smoke and toxic chemicals from injuring our lungs. Bronchospasm protects a child's lungs. We all have this reflex that some describe as a loaded gun response, waiting for something to pull the trigger to start it. For non-asthmatic children, that something is usually a serious case of smoke inhalation or inhaling strong heat like in a child who's caught in a house fire or exposure to toxic chemicals. It takes a lot to pull the trigger of a non-asthmatic child, but not an asthmatic child. For them, the trigger is usually pulled by just having a cold, or rolling in the grass on a nice spring day, or running up and down a soccer field on a cool fall morning. In these children, the reflex has gone haywire, and the trigger is pulled for almost no reason. So you can see, asthma is a condition of heightened bronchial responsiveness that I like to call twitchy bronchioles. Low threshold of irritation, combined with recurrent episodes that are reversible with medications, and your child just got a diagnosis of asthma. But why is this disease becoming more common? Fewer children in America are growing up around cigarette smoke than in the past. The air is cleaner than it was when I was a child. More kids have air conditioning and central heat, and power plants are putting out far less particulates than in previous generations. So why is the incidence of asthma climbing? Well, the short answer is no one knows. But here are some of the main theories. Theory one, the hygiene hypothesis. Lack of microbial life in a child's gut is the root cause of allergy. This lack of germs stems from repeated courses of antibiotics, a lack of playing in the dirt, not growing up around animal microbes like kids used to do on farms, dishwashers that essentially sterilize what a child eats, pristine, clean food that may have even been irradiated, antibacterial soaps and gels, they kill all the bacteria on a child's skin, and a lack of cultured bacteria-rich foods are among some of the reasons that seem to support this hygiene hypothesis. Theory 2, acetaminophen. Now, there's evidence that children who take this drug seem to be more prone to allergies and asthma. Yes, Tylenol, that trusted medicine that we've had from our childhood. We have talked about this before in a previous podcast. How this happens, I'm unsure, but research does seem to make a link that may be causal or just an association with something else these children are doing. But there seems to be a link between acetaminophen exposure in a child and allergies and asthma. Theory 3, obesity and processed food, especially highly processed food, such as found on fast food restaurants, cause inflammation to ramp up in a child's body and may be part of starting the inflammation in a child's bronchioles. Very theoretical, but there is some evidence that supports this theory. Theory 4, vitamin D deficiency. Well, here is another popular theory. Childhood has come indoors, and we all know that it is outdoors, under the influence of ultraviolet light, natural light, that a child's body makes vitamin D. Its absence somehow turns on inflammation again, the root cause of asthma and allergies. And the final theory is severe viral infections with a germ called RSV, respiratory syncytiovirus, and genetic factors clearly have strong influence on whether a child develops asthma and allergies. Asthma, and maybe some of these genetic factors are gene expressions, changes from things that our ancestors experienced, the so-called epigenetic theory, that our grandparents and our great-grandparents experienced something that changed their epigenetics, and that's been passed down and now is expressing itself as allergy and asthma in our generation. So now that you know what asthma is and some of the theories about why its incidence is increasing, let's look at what recent research tells us about asthma. Fact number one, attacks are most commonly triggered by the everyday viral URI virus called rhinovirus. And this is new information. We used to think it was the meaner viruses that were most likely to trigger asthma, but no, it turns out to be just regular rhinovirus. Fact two, after a viral illness, a child's bronchioles are hyper-responsive for 7 to 12 weeks, and that's a lot longer than we previously thought. And it's very likely that a child who wheezes will get another virus within that period of time. So many children have almost continuous wheezing during the winter when they're infants, if they're prone to this. Fact number three, while death from asthma is relatively rare, a third of children who die from asthma only had mild disease before their severe attack. Their pediatrician didn't feel that they had severe asthma before they had their fatal asthma attack. I find this revelation particularly frightening since I'm responsible for so many kids with asthma. Fact four, severe attacks usually require the inflammation-stopping effect of systemic steroids, but research has found that often one dose of a steroid called Decadron, also known as dexamethasone, can abort an attack as well as the traditional 5 days of oral prednisone. Fact five, increasing the preventative dose of inhaled steroid controller to 4 times the preventative dose can often abort an asthma attack and obviate the need for a child to take a much larger dose of oral steroids. And fact six, finally, research tells us that if a child is not doing well with their asthma, the most common reason for their poor control is that the child and their family are not complying with giving the child their medications. It's not that the medications don't work most often. They are often not being taken for various reasons. And I can see why. Managing a chronic condition like asthma is difficult for families. And frank denial of the existence of the illness can be very, very strong, especially in older kids and teens. I think in the next decade, we're going to start really understanding what triggers asthma, and we're going to learn how to prevent many children from ever developing it. Basic science research is closing in on the answers at a rapid rate. A child's lungs, especially as they are growing, are very amazing and delicate structures. Preventing and controlling asthma needs to be a very high priority for both doctors, parents, and really all of society, since it's the most common chronic illness that children experience. Well, as always, thanks for joining me for today's PEDcast. If you enjoy hearing about what's new in pediatrics with podcasts, take a moment to subscribe to Portable Practical Pediatrics on iTunes or at my website, www.docsmo.com. Got a comment? Share your thoughts and experiences with my listeners. Together, we can make children healthier. I know we can. Well, this is Dr. Paul Smolin, noting that it doesn't seem fair that every child isn't able to get a breath of fresh air. Let's change that. Until next time. I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music. Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor. Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music. Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry. And Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this PEDcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com PEDcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.